does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Amen. Hi. How is everybody? Good. So raise your hand if you have ever watched Bill and I do soul stirring. Yes, just raise it if you. Yeah, soul stirring, man. It has been great. So much fun. And we haven't done it since Lent ended, since Holy Week. Like, our brains went into overdrive during Holy Week, and then we were exhausted, and we haven't done it since. So we thought, let's do it here, live with you all today. So we're going to do live soul stirring for you all. Yes? Sound good? Okay, good. Swear we haven't practiced this. We have no idea what's going to happen. So Holy Spirit, come. That's all we got to say. That's what we say every time. All right. And also, okay, so let's see. What are the three elements of soul stirring? Anybody remember? Three elements of soul stirring. Ben? Music. Scripture. The gospel or scripture. What else? Food. So I'm going to be honest with you. Bill was like, let's cook something in the church. And I was like, no, dude, we're not. No, he wanted to make deviled eggs, which I thought was so fabulous. But then I was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. But it was a great idea. I really love it. You're creative. Those Presbyterians. Anyway, but we needed food. We got to have food. And so Nate is going to help us with the food part. Nate, you want to come down? That's awesome. Thank you, buddy. Come on down. So, will you hold this for me? So we got to have food. Nate, do you remember, will you hold this for me, sweetie? Do you remember last week's gospel and sermon? Just say yes. Yes. Oh, that's so great. Good. And do you remember Peter was talking to Jesus and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Do you remember that part? Just say yes. Oh, yes. And then, let's see, Peter said, of course I love you. And then do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, if you love me, do what? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You are brilliant. That's exactly right. Does everybody remember this? I mean, Jesus was like, okay, you love me. Tend my flock. Feed my sheep. So for our food today, first of all, Bill, you want to come down?
Sure.
We're gonna do our soul stirring, and I do have scripture. I've got some scripture. We've got food, and then we'll see about the music, right? Okay, right. Good. All right. So here we go. This is the deal. Will you turn around and show the cameras your bag? Have you all ever been driving down the road and somebody is living outside, or they say they're hungry and they say, "Can you give me some money?" Man, how many conversations have we had about, like, I don't know what to do in that moment? So here's the thing, feed the sheep. It's not rocket science, right? But we don't always know exactly what we should have on hand because, like, what do people need? So I talked to Amy Cantrell at Be Loved, and we thought about these bags. And so this is what we're going to put together while I'm reading scripture. And then if you all want to at home, you can put these bags together and keep them in your car. And so if you see somebody out, you can give them something that they need. Feed my sheep, right? Okay, so great. In here, turn around, let's show the camera. We have a can of soup that's a pop top, right? Easy. We've got a package of peanut butter that you can just open up. We have a package of tuna that you can just open up. We've got two things of applesauce, and we have a bottle of water. And then the most important thing we have in there is a note that says, you are loved, right? So that's important, right? All the food is really great. We need all of that, but we also need to remember that we are loved. So Nate and Bill are going to start to put some of these together right here while I read some scripture for us. I know we've already read the gospel, but we have something really interesting. Amy Cantrell was with us for Liberation Bible Study. Anybody come to Liberation Bible Study? It's every Tuesday. Please join us. Reverend Amy Cantrell from Be Loved was with us last time.
Yep.
And she opened our minds to understand scripture. So that was the last thing also that we heard from Jesus, was he opened their minds. Mm-hmm. And once he opened their minds to understand scripture, he was able to ascend. But they understood scripture. So we're going to do a little opening our minds to understand scripture. And Amy Cantrell read this to us. And it goes along with our Good Shepherd, and it opened my eyes. It's kind of long, but I'm going to read it. Okay. It's from Ezekiel. If you all have Bibles close by and you know where they are, you're probably Presbyterian. But if you have them close by, Ezekiel chapter 34. Here we go.
Yep.
And thank you all for that. Okay. The word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds. Thus says the Lord God, all you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? And if you eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fatling, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the stray. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness, you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for the wild animals. My sheep were scattered up against every hill. My sheep were scattered ever all the face of the earth. And then he goes on to say, as I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become prey, I will be the good shepherd. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. So just raise your hand if you have ever read this part of Ezekiel when studying the Good Shepherd. Anybody? Yes, okay, Bill and Becky. Yes, of course, that's wonderful. Good, okay, so Bill, honestly, tell me, what do you think? Did you get introduced to this? We have 3 theology degrees between the two of us, and neither of us had really ever studied this part of Ezekiel. What do you think?
Yeah, I would love to tell you that, like, my Old Testament professor, like, did a whole semester on it.
Yeah.
No, man, I've never heard that text.
And especially, it would seem like if we're studying the Good Shepherd and what why the Good Shepherd, who is Jesus talking to in this gospel passage? Who do you think Jesus was actually speaking to in this moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if Jesus was going to, as the youth would say, throw some shade,
yes,
it's usually for the religious leaders. Right?
Okay, yeah, that's, he was talking to the Pharisees,
person,
right?
That he typically has the most critique for.
And so, if he was speaking to those folks, do you think Jesus had ever read this scripture from Ezekiel? Do you think he had heard about the false shepherd or the bad shepherd? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, Jesus studied all those prophets really well.
Yes.
You know, compared to, say, what we were getting. He's probably real familiar with them.
So it's not that complicated, right? What Jesus is saying to us here, what is the essence of what you think he is trying to share with us in this? If he's thinking about what was the false prophet, what do we hear in this reading of Ezekiel that made these shepherds the false shepherds? What do we hear?
I mean, to me, I feel like if you're going to, like, break down this text and what we have Jesus saying in John, you've really got to go to the whole cast of characters and look at the whole thing.
Okay,
right?
Good.
So, and Nate, she can help.
Why don't we work together while Bill talks for a minute?
So, there's the sheep.
Yep.
There's the wolf. There's this hired hand that gets talked about.
Right.
Right. And then there's the good shepherd. Right. So when I think about the relationships of all of these characters in this little vignette, this thing that, that Jesus is describing, right, there's a couple of buckets, right? One is the business bucket, and the other is the personal bucket, right? There's the phrase, you know, it's not personal, it's just business, right? Mm. So for me, when I look at the wolf is all business. Mm. The wolf is there to consume, right? And the sheep are there to be consumed.
Right.
And to actually, to build relationships with the sheep is to complicate things for the wolf, right? The wolf is just there to consume, right? And we are taught in our culture to consume, to produce and to consume, right? So there's that relationship. Then there's this hired hand, right? And it's a little more complicated, but not that much. The hired hand has a job to do, and he's about the business. And he might enjoy the work. The hired hand might actually be pretty good at the job, but at the end of the day, it's just business, right? Mm. And so with the hired hand, when push comes to shove, the hired hand is going to back off and say, you know, I don't get paid enough for this. I'm not going to lay down my life for this. These aren't my sheep. I just got a job to do, right? So when push comes to shove, the hired hand's going to do a cost-benefit analysis on it. It's going to do a risk assessment, and it's going to say, there are probably better gigs for me than this one. So the hired hand will walk away, right, because it's business. But for this good shepherd, this gets real personal really fast, right? The shepherd has relationship with each sheep and with the flock as a whole, right? So that's one dynamic that I see in this. The other...
And is that same dynamic happening in Ezekiel too, right? I mean, this is what the false shepherds really are. They're they're looking just to fatten themselves. Just they're using the whole...
They're producing and consuming,
Yeah. And they're not... They don't love and care for the sheep of the flock. So in our Liberation Bible study, we did, and Amy really helped us to understand this deeply, but one of the things that we do in Liberation Bible study is we ask ourselves, where is the liberation for us in this text? Where does this free us to be who it is God calls us to be in this world, which is essentially the definition of liberation, to be able to be exactly who God calls us to be in the world? How does... Bill, how do you think that this text, if we look at relationship versus production and consumption, which is basically the false shepherds are all about production and consumption, the good shepherd is all about relationship and love, right? How does this text, do you think, liberate us to be, to follow that good shepherd and to be, to live in that way? How does it liberate us?
Yeah, yeah. So for me, the liberation part that we can find in this is that we all actually get to be part of the flock, right? In everything else that we see out there, there's like the exclusive flock, there's the good flock, and then there's the less good flock. There's the primo flock of sheep, and then there's like just, you know, the more ordinary stuff. Things are set up here in a level of exclusivity, right? But Jesus comes at this saying, there's these other sheep, and they can be in this flock too,
right?
In a world that's all about scarcity and a mindset of limitation and scarcity, Jesus is coming at this with abundance. He's not worried that the sheepfold is only so big. You know, we don't hear him saying, I mean, there's only one of me, so I can only have a flock that's so big,
right?
Instead, he comes at it with, I'm the good shepherd, and I've got plenty good room for anybody who wants to be part of this flock. In fact, we need to be assertive about bringing people into this flock. And it's a sense of abundance that is freeing for me.
And you know, often in our culture, I think that we're taught that real freedom is about individuality. It's about making it on your own. It's about having all the things by yourself. You did it yourself. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's freedom. But as Christians, liberation is actually found in our joining and belonging to the flock. That is where we are going to be the most liberated. That's where we're going to be able to be who God made us to be, because we've been knit together as one body. And so you'll notice, like, there's scripture about if the sheep wanders, Jesus goes and finds that sheep, leaves the 99 to go find the one. But he does that, and then he doesn't take that one sheep off somewhere else and just hang out with the one sheep. No, he brings the sheep back to the flock. Because the flock isn't complete without that sheep, and that sheep cannot be liberated unless they belong to the flock, right? And so then we read from 1 John today how it is we know this love that we can express together through our liberation of being a part of the flock. And it says, look, enough with the word and the speech. We have to be grounded in truth and action. That is how they are going to know us, not by what we say, but by what we do. What we do by feeding the sheep. Do you love me? He says to Peter. Peter says, yes, I love you. And he says, then go and feed my sheep. So I think as we are thinking about how it is we are called to be a part of the flock, when we think about relationship above production and consumption, when we think about the fact that we might have all the goods in the world, but we are called to use those to feed each other so that we can be liberate. There are a lot of lost sheep out there right now, you all. You know that, right? In our city and across the world, it is our job to bring these people back into the fold, which means back into the flock, which means their needs are met, because that's what happens. When we're a part of the flock, our needs get met. Basic needs get met. And so as we go forward, I want us to think about the simple ways that we can turn the truth into action in our daily lives. This is one example. This isn't going to solve hunger, but it's going to bring us into relationship and pull in those who may feel lost, who may feel that they are not belonging in the fold right now. And so thank you so much for helping us with this food, Nate. And thank you, Bill. I am so grateful that we have the opportunity to do small acts of kindness in the world to bring about this feeding of justice in the world. So I hope you all find some liberation in that act. And thank you. So do we have music today, Bill? I'm just curious. Like, do we have music?
Exactly. We actually do have some music.
Yay!
So I know that for me as a young person, being at camp and youth conferences and youth events were really formative for me. And it's where I heard a lot of music that helped to frame my theology and part of who I am. And I know that that's been true here in this diocese and for young people growing up here. And Camp Henry has been one of those places. So we talked to one of our favorite local singer-songwriter, theologian singers in our community, Emmeline Scales. You may have heard of her, and she has a song that has been formative for her on this same kind of theme. So we'll close our soul stirring by hearing a song sung by Emmeline Scales. I believe it's called "Tell Them That I Love Them."
Tell the people I love them. Tell the people I care. When they feel far away from me, tell the people I'm there. Last night Jesus came to me, wiped the tears from my eyes. He said not to worry, he would stay by my side. Then he looked out upon the world in the darkness of night. He turned and he spoke to me, oh so sadly he sighed. When I walked upon Calvary and poured out my life, I died for each one of them so that they might have life.
Amen.